Welcome to the Way of Success. Pastor Banky is teaching the principles of life established in the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, whose kingdom indeed reigns over all. Relax and listen, and you'll be blessed by this message.
Let's commence today's teaching by reading from the book of Isaiah chapter 55. From verse 6, it says, "Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return to the Lord, and the Lord will have compassion on him, and let him return to our God," he said, "for he will abundantly pardon." Verse 8 says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord." Now, we have been talking for many weeks now on the subject of creating the opportunity for prosperity. Let me just quickly for a moment remind us of many of the things that we have said. Number one, we have come to understand that we as people, individuals, are important in God's plan for prosperity for the earth upon which we live. That is, God doesn't just do things by himself. He always involves people. He said, "Who shall I send? Who will go for us?" When he was going to deliver the children of Israel out of bondage in Israel, he had to call a Moses. That is, he called Moses and said, "I have heard the cries of my people. Now I want you to go and deliver them." And he said in Isaiah also, he said, "Behold, I will send them a savior and a champion. And then using that person, I will deliver them." When a man was going to declare what God has said, as Jesus Christ actually was being prophesied about, he said, "Behold, the Lord has sent me and his spirit." That is, when God wants to send his power, his spirit to deliver people, he looks for somebody upon whom he will place that thing. And that is the person that will do the work of God on the earth. So Paul will say, "I am what I am by the grace of God." That is, his power working towards me did not prove vain, in that that power resulted in my laboring, apparently more than other people. But it was not my power. It was the power of God working with me. Paul was explaining. So that is, before God could deliver people, he had to use somebody else. Are you getting my point? So we have established that when we're talking about prosperity, creating the opportunity for prosperity, we said people are important. And let's try and make it very personal. Each time we're thinking about it, always say it like this: I am important. That is, you personalize it concerning yourself. That's when this thing is becoming real. Faith, I said in previous times, is a substance of things hoped for. That is something that I have an expectation concerning. Faith must be real to me myself. Then we also established that it's a preparation of the heart, but then that one I'm still developing on it, is what is necessary for the creation of prosperity. That is, what our labor, I will explain that further again today, is not supposed to be first outside, it must be first inside. Jesus said to the disciples, he said, "Tarry in Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high." That is, the human tendency is that you've heard the commission. Jesus came and said, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to the whole nations." If people want to jump up with their zeal and go and do it. But the Bible said that a man to have zeal, all right, without knowledge is not good. He said, "He that hastens with his feet makes mistakes." So Jesus told them, "Tarry in Jerusalem." Now, I want to use that to remind us of the point we have made, that first of all, the thing must be done in the heart so that what will come out physically will be spontaneous and will be natural. I was listening to a message a few days ago, and the preacher was saying that you must always meditate on what you will do if God were to open a particular door for you. And this is a matter of fact. Many of us, if God suddenly gets up one day and then gives us a lot of money as an example, we are going to waste it because in our heart, we have not become ready to handle certain degree of finances. For that reason, God doesn't give most of us anything because he knows, as a matter of fact, we can't handle it. So we have established that first the preparation must be in the heart. And I said this preparation is first of all spiritual, that you must get certain concepts right. And that's actually what I want to build on again today. We said, number one, we must understand that God is God and there is none else. And if God decides to do something, it can be done. He said, "I act and who can hinder it?" And he said, "As for my outstretched arm, who can turn it back?" That is, when God wants to act, he said, "If I open a door, nobody can shut it." That's a matter of fact. Whether the people are Nigerians or the Americans makes no difference. When God is ready to act, we must bear that in mind. So we'll never feel like we are hindered by our circumstances. So we have come to understand that all these things are possible. And not only are they possible, they are necessary. They are things that God has commanded that must be done. If you have prayed, he said in Psalm 126, the people prayed like this. They said, "Restore our captivity, O God,
as streams renew the desert. And God now answered. He said, this is how it will go. You have to go out and sow in tears. It's when you have sown in tears that the answer that I have given to your prayers will be manifested. So you go out, you sow in tears, then you will discover that you will reap with joy. All right? That anyone who goes forth weeping, bearing his bag of seed, which is precious because he doesn't have so much of it, he said, because of the prayer they have prayed, saying, restore our captivity, they will most certainly return rejoicing, carrying plenty of harvest with them. Those are the things we have established up till now. And now, you know, now I read from Isaiah chapter 55, where Isaiah was describing something. If you remember last time, I explained that principle, that here, there's what is called seeking God. It says, seek the Lord while he may be found. Remember what we said, that to seek God means that God's face is hidden. And there's a principle behind that hiding of God's face. When we are experiencing problems in life, when we are experiencing the opposite of prosperity, that is, we're experiencing adversity and calamity, he said the primary thing is that the face of God is hidden. Therefore, Isaiah said, seek the Lord while he may be found. And he now said concerning the wicked man, he said, let the wicked man forsake his ways and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Now, listen to this. Let me continue from there. That's where we were. That is, the thoughts of the man's heart is what marks him as wicked or and as unrighteous. That is, the way he relates with things. And remember something I said, that for power to be made available, we talked about the principle of resonance. Resonance means that you are moving in the same frequency. Using our own adapted spiritual terminology now, we are moving in the same frequency as God. Now, if you remember physics, if you are out of resonance, then the effect of the two waves, they are reduced, all right? But then if both waves are in sync, they are in sequence, they are going at the same frequency and in the same phase, you discover that the cumulative effect will be much increased. If you study physics, that is what is called resonance. Now, that applies in every aspect of life. God has his own frequency. He has his own phase of thinking. And he said, your ways are not my ways. Your thoughts are not my thoughts. That is, I have my ways. I have my thoughts. And when you don't have my thoughts, what you discover is that your attitude cancels out my plan as far as your life is concerned. Please, are you getting my point? Now, really, this is based on the real things of life. That is, if the two waves are going against each other, they cancel out. And God said, because your thoughts are not my thoughts, what is happening is that those attitudes in your heart, they are canceling out the plan that I have for you. So he said, if the unrighteous man wants to experience God's blessing, seeking the face of God, first thing he must do is to forsake his thoughts. Please, I hope what I'm saying is making sense here. He said, let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord and he will have compassion on him. That is, if we want God's mercy, if we want God to pardon us, what he said is, change the way you think. Please get that point. I've been saying this for many weeks now, and I think I haven't said it enough. While preparing for what I will say for this particular teaching, I realized that thing keeps on staying in my heart. That the major problem is what is in the heart of people. Do you follow the point I'm making? I'm going to tell a story to explain the point I'm making here. I remember I read this in a tract, and I think it really happened many, many, many years ago. A man was, not in Nigeria, I think in the United States or something. He was convicted for murder, all right? And he was sentenced to death or life imprisonment, one of the two of them. And then, but he had a very influential friend. And for him, it was his first offense. Please, get to my point here. So this influential friend used all the influence he had to get him a pardon with the governor of the state, because the governor could pardon the man, all right? Now, so this man finally got the governor to sign the pardon. And he now proudly took the pardon papers and went to the jail where his friend was kept. He was feeling very happy that he had finally managed to get his friend a pardon. Now, when he got to the guy's cell, you know, he just wanted to play a joke on the man. He now said, and I imagine now that, my friend, that they opened the door and said, you can go and that you are free. What are you going to do? The guy said, I think I'll keep going. Okay, let's assume you get to the main gates of the jail and then they will throw the gates wide open and they tell you that, bye-bye, you're free. You can go. So what are you going to do with your freedom? The guy thought for a moment. He said, I think I'll go to Lancaster. Now, I don't know where Lancaster is, but according to the tract, his friend said, what are you going to look for there? Apparently, that's where they sell guns. He said, I'll go there and go and get me a gun. What are you going to do? He said, I'll look for the judge who sentenced me to death. I will shoot him. He said, I'll look for the guy who testified against me, and I will shoot him too. So it's very looking. That's what you would do if you become free. The guy said yes. The guy turned around, tore the pardon paper, threw it in the dustbin, and walked away. Now listen to this. Because he was not free in his heart, the wickedness of his heart had not been taken away from him. Therefore, his freedom was denied him. That is, this man had deliverance in his hand, but the man who he wanted to deliver proved to him by his words that, listen, I'm simply a murderer. It was not an accident. If given the opportunity, I will do it again. Please, are you getting my point? So that man being in jail, he remained in jail primarily because his heart was in a particular state. I'm going to use that one to emphasize what we're saying again, that the first problem has to do with the heart, especially when it comes to this matter of prosperity. Though it happens to, it affects many other aspects of life. If you go and see when Jesus was going to respond to the query from the people that John sent concerning whether he's the one to come or they are to expect another, he told them, go and tell John what you both see and hear. He said, you discover that the blind see, the lame walk, the dead are raised. He said, but the poor have the gospel preached to them. That is, for the poor, I don't just make them prosperous. I first speak to them. I speak the gospel to them. This is the reason. Because before they can become prosperous outside, they must first accept it in their heart. A lot of people, I said it before, and I need to say it again. A lot of people who are struggling in life, they have accepted failure in their hearts. But they struggle because it's the natural thing. You have to wake up in the morning and go to work. But as he's going to the work, he's not expecting anything. That's why I keep preaching. As a matter of fact, that first, prosperity must be accepted in the heart. Are you getting my point? Now, this is not just about a matter of saying that I want prosperity. There is something I've found out about spiritual things. When you want something, it's not just by saying I want it that in heaven God hears that you want it. It's by doing certain things that agree with your desire. Let me explain. When he told the children of Israel concerning how to prosper in the land, he said, I listed before you life and death. All right? He said, how do you choose life? By obeying the commandments that I'm commanding you today. You don't just say, I want life. And then you go and disobey the commandments. That is, the fact that I say I have a desire, I must see things that are in keeping with the desire I claim to have before that desire will be genuine in the eyes of God. That is, if I say I am changing my mind concerning prosperity, it's not just to say that I have now accepted that I want to prosper. No. Listen to what I said earlier, that the evil man has thoughts. All right? And the reason why God called him a wicked man, it was because of the things inside his heart. I'm going to give a few practical examples today, because you see, that is a major issue. Paul said, labor to enter into his rest. He was speaking from the book of Hebrews chapter 4. He said that anyone who has entered his rest has ceased from his own works. That is, there is a kind of place that your heart must be in. That is where the main war is. Please, this is the main war. Most of us like to war outside, having not warred inside. That is, we haven't fought and gotten victory in our attitudes of the heart. But we want to go out in life and expect life to respond to us. Please listen to me. If your heart, let me say clearly, if your thought patterns are not in agreement with that of God, you are laboring against God's power. Let me say that again. The way you think, your ideas and your thoughts, they must be in consonance with that of God for God to call you a righteous man. Remember we said that earlier. And the righteousness in your heart is now released by the words of your mouth. That is, speaking is not what we're just talking about. It must be speaking out of a heart that God calls righteous. Do you get what I'm saying? That is the number one label, to come into agreement with what God is saying. Let me give an example. You know, like earlier when I talked about a man who was on death row or who was in prison, life imprisonment, and because his heart was not in agreement with freedom, the reason why you were jailed before was because we realized that you are dangerous to people around you. When we wanted to free you, you showed us again that you are still dangerous to the people around you. So we had to leave you in jail. You follow the point I'm making. So that is that kind of person. What would have been the agreement with God? What would have been in consonance with God's ideas would have been like this. You know, say, what will you do if you become free? The man will say, if I become free, I think first thing I'll do is thank God that, man, I almost died or I almost spent the rest of my life in jail. After then, I am going to make sure I avoid all kinds of troubles because I don't want anybody to bring me down here again. Are you getting my point? If he has spoken like that, that means the man has gotten ready to be a blessing to his society. Therefore, his pardon papers would have been released and he would have become a free man. Please, you are getting my point. That is, what kept him in jail, like I said earlier, is the kind of thoughts that he still had in his heart. Now, we're talking about creating the opportunities for prosperity. You know, that God, I said before, he always thinks of good for people. Now, when you talk about prosperity, what does it bring to your mind anytime you're thinking? Now, let me explain what I'm trying to say. For some people, what they think prosperity is means that I will never lack food again. Now, listen. It means that I will have a house to live in. I can now send my children to school. Now, you know the interesting part? If you're a child of God, you will fail that test absolutely, if that's the way you are thinking. I know many people are thinking, they are surprised to hear that. That after all, what is somebody looking for in life? Let me tell you something. You must learn God's thoughts. What's God's thought about that? Matthew chapter 6. Jesus said, take no thought for the morrow. What you shall eat, what you shall drink, and wherewithal shall we be clothed. He said, after these things the Gentiles seek. Are you getting my point? He said, but you, your heavenly Father knows that you need this. He said, look at the birds of the air, all right? Look at them, how your heavenly Father takes care of them. They don't spin, they don't toil, they don't worry, yet God takes care of them. He said, look at the lilies of the fields. What do? They don't do this kind of hard labor. He said, yet God takes care of them. He said, are you not worth more than the birds or than the lilies of the field? Oh, ye of little faith. That is, if you are thinking that that is the purpose of prosperity, then you are of little faith and you have not yet become ready to agree with God's ideas. Do you get my point? That is, as far as God is concerned, that is not an issue. That is not an issue. If you walk with God, basically, God will make sure you never lack food. I'm trying to bring out something here. So that, in God's idea, is not the purpose of prosperity. Please, I've given that as an example for us to understand that there is a way God thinks. And if you think the way God is thinking, let me explain something to you. Life is spiritually controlled. If you think the way God is thinking, then most certainly, great power will be made available. I have said this to us before, but I just need to repeat it. We have heard the word aura. People talk about an aura around somebody. Now, listen, spiritual things are real. Those things are not jokes. If a man has a force of prosperity that is having agreed with God in his heart, and he goes out, listen, opportunities will come to him without his struggling. By themselves, opportunity will come to his door. Now, to emphasize, let me read from Hebrews chapter 4. Now, if you read from verse 11, now, I want to use the Amplified Bible. It said, let us therefore be zealous and exert ourselves and strive diligently to enter that rest of God. Now, in verse 12, he now says, the reason why we have to do this is that the word of God is alive and full of power, making it active, operative, energizing, and effective. Now, that's where I want to stop. Please get this point, that the word of God is full of power. Now, in the beginning, when God was going to create, what he did was to just speak. Are you getting my point? He just spoke, and the issues of life responded to the word of God. He said, light be, and light came into existence. Now, the interesting part is that that is how things still are till today. Concerning Jesus, it was spoken that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And that said, the Word now became flesh and dwelt amongst us. This is how spiritual things are. Once something is real as a Word into our heart, eventually it manifests outside as flesh in our environment. That is, it becomes something tangible that we can see. And in here in the book of Hebrews, the explanation being given us is this, that we must labor, strive diligently to enter into God's rest. If you read the preceding verses, how do you enter into God's rest? It's simple, by believing the word of God. That is, by bringing your thoughts into consonance with the word of God. Are you getting my point? Now, when we talk about word now, what are words? Words are just expressions of the thoughts of the heart. I said something in previous times trying to explain this principle of creation. That when God said, light be, or let there be light, we know he did not speak in English. We know he did not speak in Igbo language. He did not speak Hausa language. We don't know the language he spoke. Most certainly, he did not speak the language we are speaking to, any one of them. What did he speak? Now, there was nobody around discussing languages, so the language was irrelevant. I believe very strongly he just uttered a sound, but the important thing about the sound was that it was an outflowing of what was inside his heart. Please remember that the Bible said that the earth was without form and it was void, and darkness was upon the surface of the deep. Then the Spirit of God, that's the next thing he said, that the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters. Please, that one is very important, because that was a critical thing there. First thing it did was to brood, the Bible says, over the surface of the waters. What was he doing? He was conceiving what he wanted. He was assessing the situation and deciding what he wanted to create out of this calamity, out of this mess that was there. Now, when his heart, listen, when his meditations in his heart became full, it flowed out of his mouth as a sound which was recorded by Moses as, "Let there be light." Please, I hope you're getting my point. So the words are not just the sound, but the thoughts that they convey. So for us to enter into the rest of God, we must first hear the thoughts that God is conveying. And then when those thoughts are communicated to us by God's word, and we receive them, and that is the main battle, to be able to agree with the word of God. Once they are received, they come into our lives and create another set of ideas, another set of thoughts, creates new pictures. Now, once we allow the word of God to do that, then we have become converted. Once those pictures are created, as a matter of fact, eventually they will become manifested. Because what will happen is that once you become fully persuaded, when you want to talk, you will talk out of the thing that fills the heart. Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And whatever the mouth speaks under such circumstances eventually becomes flesh in your environment. What have I tried to describe? That the word indeed becomes flesh. But how does it become flesh? It first comes from God into our hearts, creates new ideas. You know, I've been talking to people a lot of times, and then when I talk to people, I say, look around, there are diverse opportunities. Of course, you cannot take advantage of every opportunity, but there is one opportunity that is your own. Please get my point. And that before you are able to recognize that opportunity, first, God must have done something in your heart. Let me tell you, it's very terrible because a lot of people, what happens is that Satan has taken away their faith. And that is a major issue in life, faith. That is, they look, and what Satan has done is to use the things happening around, all right? He has used those things to persuade the people concerning his own plan for their life. That is, listen, life is so terrible that all you just need is enough food to eat and enough money to get by. And you should be okay, and you should be content. Once you agree with Satan, listen, your spirit will reject prosperity and you won't realize it. If it wants to come towards you, it will reject it. There are people who are constant complainers. They grumble and grumble and grumble about what is going on around so much that when the God-ordained blessings come to them, are you getting me? And that's how God does things. God will always put it on record that he gave you your own opportunity. How did he say? He said he came unto his own and his own received him not. But to as many as received him, to them he gave the power, let me use my own words, to prosper. Listen, opportunities come around people every day. But because their hearts are not prepared, that's why I'm emphasizing this issue of the heart. Because their hearts are not prepared, when the opportunities come, they let it go. Do you understand my point? You see, it's not the environment that's the primary thing. I've said it before, that a lot of Nigerians who claim that there's no job in Nigeria, there's no job to do, they go abroad, and I know you too, you're a witness, and you know the kind of jobs they do. Boys will clean gutter, they will carry garbage, they will wash plates, they will do anything. Because in their hearts, they have heard and they have believed that when I go there, there are opportunities. So the kind of opportunities that they saw here and did not take advantage of, they see there and they take advantage of it. Are you getting my point? The other day, my wife and I were speaking, and she was wearing a very beautiful dress. And I said, "This dress is so beautiful. Who made it for you?" He said, "Can you remember that girl I told you about that said she didn't have a job? She made this dress." I said, "What did you say? She didn't have a job, and she made this dress." I said, "What do you call a job?" Do you follow my point? Is it not an avenue to be a blessing to other people? Is it not an avenue to use your skills to earn money, earn a reward for yourself? Two things I've said here. Number one, to be a blessing to people. And number two, to use your skills to earn something for yourself. Is that not what a job is? I said, "She can do this well and she's telling you she doesn't have a job." I said, "The girl needs to see me. Something is wrong with her head." Now, please get my point. I'm talking about God's thoughts. Because what was the thought in her mind concerning a job? She has this thought that when I wake up in the morning, I wake up early, I dress up, apply my makeup, wear a very nice and corporate dress, and go out and go to an office where I must get there before 7:30. All right, and I will sit in an air-conditioned office and work from morning till evening. Then at the end of the month, somebody issues me a check and say, or credits my account and says, that is my salary. That is a job. I'm teaching God's thoughts. That's actually where what I'm going into today. In fact, I'm so happy the Spirit of God has allowed me to use as an example. Now, so what should a child of God who's expecting blessing from God's hand know that a job is? He said, number one, that does not define a job. I'm not saying waking up, getting to work at 7:30 is wrong. I'm saying that that is not what defines a job. What is a job? This is God's thought. Hear me and note it. A job is the opportunity to be a blessing to somebody. A job is the avenue with which I use my gift to bless somebody, and who will in return, all right, give something back to me. The Bible says, give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaking together, and running over. What is a job? A job is the opportunity I have to give so that men will eventually give back to me. Do you get the point I'm trying to make here? Now, whether it comes as wake up as be in the office at 7:30 and close at 5 o'clock and get paid at the end of the month is not the issue. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? The issue is that I wake up in the morning and I have something to do to bless somebody else. That is, if I don't wake up that morning, somebody will wonder where I am because I'm the source of his blessing. Now, there's something that is missing in his life because I have not yet gotten up that day. That is a job. Are you getting what I mean by God's thoughts? You're getting what I mean by God's ideas. Because what Satan sells to us, you know, I was reading a book the other day and a man was discussing the educational system of the world today. He said that the problem is that this educational system, was talking about his own country, not Nigeria primarily right now, but I believe it also applies to us. He said it's because in those systems, the curriculum was designed so that they will come out from school and get a job. Do you understand my point? So that the man is trained to work for a pay. And some of them will complain about calamity in life. I have discovered a lot of times calamity is nothing but a blessing in disguise. Do you follow my point? That is, a man who's been trained like that and has had a job for maybe 5, 6, 7, 8, 10 years, 15 years. And then one day he gets sacked. And out of desperation to earn his daily bread, he begins to use a skill that he has. And then God blesses him more than when he was having a regular, you know, monthly pay. Then the man will suddenly discover from experience the revelation of what God means by a job. Do you follow my point? I sat once and talked to a senior person to me. And the person said, there are no jobs in this country. I said, what do you call jobs? I said, I think there are jobs. Are you getting my point? He said, how can somebody be sweeping gutter in his own country? I said, who will sweep it? You don't know that it's from sweeping gutters that people begin to construct gutters and become big contractors. Something starts from somewhere. I like one man in Lagos who he wrote it on his vehicles boldly. Shit business is serious business. Something like that. What does he do? Look, one day your septic tanks will fill up. That's when you will know that it's serious business. Do you get my point? That's what somebody said that could, yeah, you can't do it in your country. Why not? Somebody's making millions doing it. Because he has redefined what a job is. A job is not when they give me an official car, and do you follow my point? And my office is air-conditioned. And I go out in the morning, and I stay up there till late in the day. And at the end of the month, they credit my account with a very huge amount of money. A lot of people have defined jobs as such, and that is why they say there is no job. Let me tell you what a job is again. Is that opportunity to use your skill to affect somebody who will in return, eventually, return something back to you. If you see it like that, you know there is nothing like there's no job. Because it means that if nobody will employ you, like one man of God said, you will deploy yourself by force. You will look for somewhere and use your skill. I mean, I give myself as an example. Because I've heard people talk about giving young preachers an opportunity. I say, I really don't understand what it means. Because as God is my witness, I have never thought I needed anybody's permission to preach. I have never thought so. Never. If you don't call me to preach. First, when I started doing the work of the ministry that I do now, I used to write what I'm teaching you now on paper and give out the paper free of charge. And people will read it and come back to ask for more. That becomes a job because I'm now using my skill to be a blessing to somebody's life. I'm trying to get us to understand God's thoughts. Paul said, you must learn to approve the things that are excellent. That is, forget what people say. Focus on what God says. There's something I was explaining earlier. He said, for the word of God is alive and full of power, making it active, operative, energizing. That's the Amplified Bible. And effective. What does it mean? That this is how God's word works. Once it enters into your heart and creates a picture. And this is the interesting part, because David has said it from Psalm 139. He said, thou didst form my inward parts. I will give thanks to thee, he said, because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Now, there's something I want to bring out from there. David was saying that God has made my inward parts. That there's a way that God formed me. Do you understand? This is how I like to explain it. Let's assume that a company makes refrigerators, televisions, and music players. What you find inside each equipment is dependent upon what they want it to do. What will be manifested in each one, when you put a current into it, is dependent upon what they formed into it. I'm bringing out something here. When the word of God comes to you and you receive it, because of the way he wired your inward parts, certain thoughts and ideas come to your mind. Do you get my point? Now, this is the interesting part. I said that you must labor to receive those ideas from God, because this is what happens. What do I mean by ideas? God speaks a word. All right? It's like this: the parable of the sower. He said the sower went forth to sow. Now, the seed didn't have a problem. Did you ever see anywhere where they said the seed had a problem in itself? No. But some fell by the wayside. Some heard the word and they didn't understand it. So it didn't bear fruit. It says some fell on a stony ground, and because there was no deepness of earth, when the thing tried to grow, the sun came up, all right, and scorched it. It said then there was another group which had depth of earth, but the cares of this world, the deceivement of riches, and the lust of other things, typified as thorns, grew up and choked it. That is, the seed didn't have a problem. It's the environment it met that's the problem. But there were this group of people that didn't have any of these problems in their hearts. So from them, notice this thing, though, the word produced effect by itself. Some produced 100-fold, he said. But then the Bible makes it clear that there was no struggle involved. That is, it comes out automatically because the word of God is powerful. It has power in itself. The events of this earth will begin to cooperate to bring the things of God to pass automatically if the word is solidly present inside our heart.
The Way of Success is a production of Kingdom Word Ministries, a non-denominational teaching ministry based in Enugu, Nigeria. For more information and for free access to Pastor Banky's audio messages, books, and other materials, log on to kingdomword-ng.org. Our mailing address is mails@kingdomword-ng.org or PO Box 2273, Enugu, Nigeria.